Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Let me tell you something, Monty. This isn't my first rodeo, but I've never seen a beast as big and angry and hairy and unwieldy and multi-limbed as a son
of a
bitch.
I've never seen a bull buck like that right out of the gates. Let me tell you, you could sedate this thing with a whole lot of bloody tranquilizers and it would keep on bucking for 2 hours 20.
It's coming at you the whole time as well. It doesn't keep its eyes off you. It locks. It finds its target and it does not relent for 2 hours and 20 minutes.
20 hands high if it's an inch. This bull is an untamable beast.
And horns made of diamonds.
Hello and welcome along to the first episode ever of The Worst Idea of All Time, featuring me, Guy Montgomery.
And myself, Tim Batt.
We just watched Sex and the City 2 for the first time ever.
So how about that?
And we'll continue to do so for a calendar year.
Yeah. What's running through your head right now, Guy?
Tim, I'm a young boy on Christmas. There's a gift under the tree with my name wrapped. It's wrapped up. It's got my name on it. It's actually also got your name on it. I'm not used to getting co-joint gifts, but that's what's happening right now.
Yeah.
I unwrap it. It's shiny and new and diamante. That's a rhinestone gift I've just opened up, Tim.
Yeah.
This is not what I signed up for. It's like the excitement of a gift. It was. It was so thoroughly enjoyable.
We were giddy. Positively giddy at the start.
Right through, like, pretty much...
right to about the hour and a half mark.
This is the thing is it sounds so stupid to complain about the length of the movie because we knew about the length of the movie. Everyone I've spoken to about the movie has mentioned the length of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, I believe,
but like I said to you while it was on, you know, we knew what it was in terms of numbers. You know, it was numbers on a page. 2 hours 20,
I quote former Arizona Cardinals coach Dennis Green after their team completely capitulated against the Chicago Bears outfit, I believe featuring a phenomenal piece of return work by Devin Hester. He said, "The Bears are who we thought they were. Sex and the City 2 is what we thought it is."
So in some ways, it did not disappoint. In other ways, it disappointed enormously because, yeah, like watching Grown Ups 1, everyone tells you what to expect and you still hold out hope that for some reason they were all lying to you.
Look, there's a good movie in there.
There's a movie in there, which is a nice change of pace. There's actors and acting and music.
There's
questionable editing. There's a terrible script.
Look, you can't.
I'm coming in too negative too early.
Don't pour it on Sex and the City. A lot of time and effort and money, especially money, went into making this film.
We put this off for as long as humanly possible. We were drip feeding out episodes of Q&As. We were like, yep, that's an episode. We did the watch of Grown Ups 1. Yep, that'll bide our time for another week online.
We've just opened up the most disgusting can of worms.
Horrible and rancid.
Wriggling all over your body. Your thighs are covered in worms.
But like, you're right.
You've got a tapeworm. I'm moving on from the film, Tim. I'm really worried about you. You're itching your ass on the whole movie. You've got a massive tapeworm in you.
One of my flatmates bought worming tablets because we've got so many cats around this house that aren't ours. We can't keep track of them. It's real weird.
When I was a kid, Mum used to give us our worming tablets with honey. She'd crush them up and put them in with a spoonful of honey.
I don't think I've ever eaten a worming tablet in my life.
Haven't you?
I don't think so, no.
Have you had worms?
Well, no. I assume if I did, I would have a tablet.
You could have had worms your whole... You've got a voracious appetite.
Don't you get an itchy arsehole, though, if you got worms?
Have you ever had an itchy arsehole, Tim?
Well, you know, like once or twice briefly, but not for an extended period.
What? You mean to tell me in your entire life, once or twice fleetingly, you've had an itchy arsehole, but other than that, it's all smooth sailing for the Batman?
Yeah. Yeah, things are pretty good.
I envy you. I've had an itchy arsehole.
How long?
I don't know. Not like long. Like over a day, maybe once in my life, it's been a recurring motif in the day.
Did you ever find out what the cause was? Or is it just one of those things that comes and goes?
It's just a day. It's like having a migraine one day.
You nutty ass.
What are you doing here? Everyone, I like to think every single person on planet, George Clooney's had an itchy arsehole.
Yeah,
George
man.
Clooney has itched his arsehole.
Itchy arseholes are the great leveler, eh? Even like royalty, even Queen, Jacob Rockefeller himself.
Queen Elizabeth II has itched her arsehole.
I once did a tour in Parliament when I was young. I was like 15 at the time and... I think his name was Jonathan Hunt. He was the old Speaker of the House in New Zealand. He took us around for a tour and he showed us a toilet where the Queen had taken a dump. And it always cracked me up. It was like, that was his itchy arsehole. He was like, the Queen shat in this toilet.
Yeah.
They used to call that man the Minister of Wine and Cheese because he was very large.
Oh,
this
man.
Old Speaker of the House.
Everyone's got organs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, dude.
Everyone has bodies.
Carrie Bradshaw. Sarah Jessica Parker.
Samantha, what's her last name? Jones.
Yes.
How can I forget that? Miranda, someone, and Charlotte, someone. The gals of Sex and the City. I think it's prudent at this point, Tim, to ask you, have you watched the TV show?
I've watched a little bit because I recognized Aiden when he came on the scene, but I had his profession wrong because I thought he was a scientist or
a geologist
or something.
No, he's an exporter.
He's a rug man.
He's an importer exporter.
He's a rug man.
From the George Costanza School of Moneymaking.
But I was familiar with Big. I was familiar enough with Big, I think, to know that this is quite a divergence from his character on the show and not in a positive way. They've really, like, schmucked them up for this.
I could feel the want for sassy Sex and the City TV dialogue coming through early in the script. You know, when it was just the gals gasbagging and there were sort of quips and jibes and... But it felt... I mean, I think I laughed quite a... You know, definitely over a handful of times, but it felt sort of belaboured.
Well, the same... There was one man who wrote, directed, and produced this film, which is always a red flag for me that you're dealing with a bit of an ego project. And I think that's right. I think this is...
I don't think it's an ego project. I think it's a... I mean, should we just quickly run through the plot of the film?
Yeah, that's a good idea. Because you can do it with this movie.
Yeah, I mean, this is... You can hang your hat on plot points and...
It's inescapable that we're going to have some comparisons early on to Grown Ups 2 because we've just got out of that pool. We've got out of the icy cold one. We're in the spa now. You know, we're in the spa of Sex and the City 2 with the gals.
You want to call it a spa?
I'm calling it a spa because a spa is real nice when you first get in and then it dehydrates you slowly and you can also catch really terrible stuff from a spa. A spa is, I think, the reason why I'm so blocked up right now. Went to Wanaka, jumped in a spa. Didn't put my head under, but I think I still picked up some
bugs
in there.
Never put your head under. Although when I was a teen, I used to put my head under the spa all the time.
What were you doing down there?
Just like breaking the rules like a legend.
God damn it. You're a loose cannon, man. Someone needs to put a leash on this guy.
The movie opens. Carrie Bradshaw is narrating her life.
Yeah, and she's doing like a nice retrospective where they do these... shots from 20 years prior of her first turning up in NYC.
Great opportunity. It's a fashion movie. Great opportunity for some fashion gags. You sort of get to see the fashion of the mid-80s in New York City, see what Samantha and the gals were all wearing. And it moves along at a reasonable clip. The girls are going to a wedding.
Can I just say, it's amazing that through, I don't know how many seasons there were of Sex and the City. I'm going to say seven, six.
That sounds good to me.
Something about there. That they hadn't like tapped that little gold mine of going into the origin stories. And they seem to go through it really quickly at the start of the movie and just skip over it. Which, if you're a fan of the TV show, would be like a pretty big deal.
Yeah, but that's not how they all that's met. Not how you get your movie paid for. You get your movie paid for by the Abu Dhabi Tourism Board. You don't get your movie paid for by like fashion houses of the 80s.
But we jump ahead.
So that they go to a wedding between, as explicitly stated by Charlotte, her gay best friend and Carrie's gay best friend.
Yeah.
And
Stanford's very funny in the series. A lot funnier than he is in the movie. He's very
sassy.
Was
Stanford the one wearing glasses? Or the
Yes,
Italian
he's the one
guy?
All dressed in white, not the Italian guy. I forget that guy's name.
Well, anyway, we go to... And we're seeing the money on display in the movie at this point. It is a garish wedding.
Yeah. Garish?
Garish.
Garish?
Lots of gear.
Lots of gear. Gear everywhere.
Lots
gear
of
in
kit,
the bathroom.
Lots of technical kit.
There's chandeliers. I'm chalking that up to gear.
Sandbags lying around. Light
water.
Stands.
I think there's a lot of water.
Yeah. Swans. There's a lot of talk about the swans.
So we're talking constantly about a big old gay wedding. And we must refer to it as a gay wedding every time we say the word wedding.
Big is not able to reconcile in his brain that what he's going to is a wedding.
Yeah.
There's a very funny Key and Peele sketch about that. Have you seen it?
No.
God, I wish we watched Key and Peele every week. Anyway, so we do the wedding.
There's a brief back and forth about kids, Carrie and Big having kids.
The wedding serves to open up sort of fractures in the relationships between the girls and their husbands or families that will play out throughout the film. And you can actually see what they're doing, which is, as someone who spent a year watching Grown Ups 2, quite exciting. But also as someone who knows the movie is 2 hours and 20 minutes long and they're telegraphing the shit out of these plot lines, is actually really worrying. It's a very confusing feeling.
Yeah, we talked about that as it was on. The concern that ran through my head and your head as well, I'm sure, that like we can see the plot points coming now. We hadn't seen it yet. We're about to watch it 51 more times.
Look, I mean, it's not worth... I think what we should do right now, Tim, is just enjoy the shiny new toy and not consider what lies ahead.
Okay, so...
One step at a time.
We do the wedding. What's after that? Do we see my favorite extra after that?
No, what happens after... No, oh yeah, maybe. They go out for breakfast. Oh, Carrie's having relationship problems. Mr. Big, it's their anniversary. This 2-year wedding anniversary. She gets Mr. Big a very well-advertised Rolex watch. He buys some very well-advertised Sobu for dinner. Like, these aren't plot points so much as sales pitches.
No. He brings back Sobu Express, the best takeout you can get in NYC.
It's a new joint.
Forget Blaze Pizza. Put a line through Blaze Pizza, folks.
Sobu is here to stay.
Sobu is the new sponsor of the worst idea of all time.
I can't wait to find out what celebrity is a stakeholder in Sobu and just hunt them down and tattoo them on my derriere.
So,
speaking of, just quick,
you're skipping ahead.
Okay.
You can't reveal that yet. Some people haven't seen Sex and the City 2, and it was very exciting when what you're about to say happened on screen. So he brings back Sobu. So Carrie is expressing discontent at the fact that John, aka Big, wants to stay at home and watch TV all the time. It's their anniversary. She gets him the
vintage Rolex watch.
1968 submarine Rolex watch. And in
the
return,
same one that James Bond has.
I think it is.
Including the...
The Garot wire. That was a little
Big
addition
goes out,
for me.
Tries out the wire, kills the doorman.
Kills Samantha accidentally.
Revives her using the magic elixir that was given to him.
That would be an interesting plot point if he went like Michael Hutchins on her and they did a bit of chokey sex, but it got out of hand and then...
At one point, died. I really wanted Liam Neeson... Like, I wanted Samantha to be taken in Abu Dhabi, and then they had to call up Liam Neeson, and he comes into the film. And anyway, we're getting distracted.
So, Big gets Carrie a TV, which he refers to as a state-of-the-art flat-panel screen, which just, like, this movie's not too dated yet. There are a couple of bits where you go, wow, this did come out a few years ago.
You know what the most offensive part about this movie to me was, Tim?
There's a lot of
idea that
there.
Four grown women are walking around using Blackberries in 2010. That's fucking bull. No one in their right mind was using a Blackberry 5 years ago.
Fair enough.
This was probably... Blackberry is Kmart in this film. It's their one last roll of the dice. They pump their whole marketing budget.
Well, if it's good enough for Barack Obama 2 years ago, it's good enough for Samantha Jones 4 years ago. Yeah, I think the State Department only let them have Blackberry. Oh, no.
He really
wanted to hold on to his Blackberry.
Maybe that would be a security thing, though, presumably for the...
Yeah,
because Apple's
But then he got an iPhone. Obama did an iPhone, so they just like souped it up with security.
Can the State Department
or the Secret Service, maybe. I don't know who deals with that shit.
But I mean, can the tech people at the White House outwit Apple?
Well, they can build stuff onto it, I assume. I don't know how it works, mate.
You're a tech
guy. What am I, a software engineer?
Closest thing I have right now.
No, I'm not. At number one, Infinity Drive, whatever it's called.
So they're having relationship problems. Big bought Carrie a flat screen television. And
she's none too happy about it, though, guys.
What the fuck? We're married.
You're a piece of shit. I bought you a Rolex, you idiot.
Yeah, and you bought a TV, which is kind of blatantly for you as much as it is for me.
Scene. So now we're having lunch, I think, with the ladies.
Pretty much. Nah, what happens now? Out of the blue, and they use this purely as a plot device.
Oh, by the way, we're at the wedding for a long time, and Liza Minnelli is there with dancers who are dressed as Liza Minnelli.
Are we doing the Shining Light? I think we have to do a Shining Light. Bro. Liza Minnelli's cover of Single Ladies by Beyonce with two backup dancers is my Shining Light this week. That was a real joy to watch. Liza Minnelli, who, as you correctly stated in the movie, to me, will be Lucille 2.
Yeah.
Lucille 2 is in the movie.
Yeah, she is. And she's got Lucille 2 backup dancers.
I don't know how old she is, like 312, but she looks fantastic and she can move.
Yeah, she's had a lot of work done.
She outdances Kim Cattrall, which was very exciting for me. That was my Shining Light.
So now
what happens is Samantha gets a call from an old lover and client.
God, you're good at remembering
stuff.
She
used to be the publicist.
Yeah.
And he's like, for no real reason, you call her.
Wait, he doesn't fucking really come back.
Not at all.
Jesus.
He's just like, yo, I'm in Abu Dhabi. You're a really good publicist.
Come here.
Come to the premiere in New York. And she's like, okay. Then she gets the girls to come along.
The crazy thing is, we say that like this is all in the opening 15. It takes over an hour for them to touch down in Abu Dhabi, and it is the premise of the film that they're there.
We haven't even got to talk about why they go to Abu Dhabi, because it's a very meta the way they broached the topic of the girls going to Abu Dhabi in the film.
Yeah, it's crazy, guys. Listen to this. Listen to Guy explain it to you.
So they go to the movie premiere, and at the premiere, Samantha's old love interest, who's the star of whatever the movie is sitting down with Samantha and some very powerful people from the Abu Dhabi. I don't know if it's a tourism board. I don't know what the official title of what they're doing is, but it's essentially a tourism board. And they pretty much pitch what I imagine the real Abu Dhabi tourism board pitch to the studio. They pitched that in the world of the film to Samantha. So they're like, to Abu Dhabi and advertise it for us.
The premise of the physical film getting made plays out on screen within the film that got made. And it's kind of fucking freaky to watch.
A play within a play.
It's referencing the process of how the play got made.
Referencing the Bard, I do believe.
It's very strange. But so that happens. And then Samantha's like, cool. So she rounds up her gaggle.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Now, Tim, you know I'm a huge advocate for hiring an objective, professional, licensed professional to tell my problems to, so that when they tell me what they think, I know I'm getting it straight. That's where BetterHelp comes in.
That's right. BetterHelp have a big pile of professionals to talk to at your convenience online. You've done a bit of therapy, right, Guy?
I started doing therapy during, there was a pandemic, I don't know if you remember, and the benefits were immediate and long-lasting. They help give you skills that you can use when you are in stressful or anxious situations. Honestly, it's changed my life for the better.
I guess that's why they call it BetterHelp. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/alltime today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/alltime.
Of whores, and they all go, and I don't mean whores in a sexual sense, I mean it in a capitalist sense. Because this movie is, everyone should be ashamed of this movie. I am, and I had nothing to do with it. I know we're skipping ahead now, but like, there's bits where it briefly reminds you of how much normal people earn, like ever so briefly, especially when they're in the United Arab Emirates and they're being waited on hand and foot by literal servants in the modern age. And so there'll be a brief discussion about like one of the servants who has to work all the time and his wife has to work in India just so they can scrape together enough money to raise their family or whatever. And then it cuts straight from that fucking scene to a banquet. The girls are enjoying a banquet.
And I would be totally okay with that if that was your bog standard buffet layout at the hotel. Well, not okay, but more okay with it. But then one of their servants comes in when Charlotte or someone sits down and she's like, "What do you want to order for breakfast?" Which implies that the other three women ordered about 50 eggs Benedict, 100 fruit salads, fuck knows how much granola, scones, pastries, orange juice, champagne, cocktails. There's three of you. What the fuck are you doing?
They're just ordering food to look at it. Like, can I have 50 croissants, please? Yeah. Will you be eating them? No, not today. Just bring them to me so I can look at them and then throw them all away.
I would like 50 ornamental croissants on my breakfast table. Post haste, please. Abdul?
Yeah, you don't say garçon when you're in the United Arab Emirates. Jesus Christ, it's offensive, Guy. My God.
Anyway, so they go to Abu Dhabi. I don't even want to explain the plot.
Yeah, like all happens. Aiden turns up. I'm just going to spoil it for you guys. I don't give a shit. Aiden turns up, who's Carrie's old flame. What?
We skipped over the exciting part of the film premiere.
What was that bit?
So Kim Cattrall is wearing this really sassy, youthful dress, presumably from Chanel Dior.
Fuck. Yeah.
I couldn't actually it's funny, this high fashion movie, because like, if you're really on the cutting edge of fashion, it also means that about 1 to 2 to maybe 5 years later, you're going to look really fucking stupid.
You look like a bit of a goose 80% of the time.
So anyway, she's wearing this youthful number on the red carpet, and who should be standing next to her?
Wearing the identical dress.
Modeling for the paparazzi. But Miley fucking Cyrus is in this movie.
Guys, no one warned us about this. No one told us Miley Cyrus is in this movie. We just got tattoos of her fucking boyfriend in Los Angeles, and now we're going to have to get some goddamn Miley tat.
That's another thing we haven't talked about very much, or at all actually, on the podcast. Since Paddy, we haven't recorded anything since Paddy tweeted at us.
Oh yeah, man, he found out.
But like,
Paddy knows.
Miley, like, first of all, we've probably been a discussion between Patrick Schwarzenegger and Miley Cyrus, which is amazing.
Post-coital.
And secondly, Miley Cyrus has probably seen my ass.
High five, buddy. That's awesome. Lots of people have seen her ass, but not that many people have shown their ass to her.
They probably have. she always makes, I hear she makes really weird demands at her concerts now.
Oh yeah?
Everything's hypersexualized.
She gets people to spit on each other.
Yeah, everyone's spit on each other for me.
What an amazing request that would be.
To all of her fans. Degrade each other for me. I'm filming
you're
it.
You're dirty. Little piglets. You're Miley's dirty little piglets. Spit on each other.
Oink like piglets.
Get down on all fours and I want you to spit on everyone next to you. Yeah, ruffle up that
shit
hair.
Shit, she's avant-garde. I was so happy to see her just because it created this incredible sort of almost cosmic sense that everything's going to be okay. We're meant to be doing this.
Yeah, it's like when you're in a really heavy psychedelic trip and sometimes it doesn't go as well as you like. Do you have like anchor points that you go to? Because I'll think of, usually it's a partner or something, like a girlfriend or something. And I'll be like, I'm going to get through this. This person loves me and I'll get to the end of the road and get back to them.
Yeah, yeah, I've had that as well.
So that's like Miley Cyrus.
Is your anchor point.
She's my anchor point in this movie. Because, I mean, as I say, the length of this movie to me is terrifying. Terrifying.
Your eyes are popping out of your head.
And so I was really wigging out and seeing Miley there kind of, at such an early point in the film, really brought me back down to earth, and I was very appreciative.
He means early in relative terms.
We're still talking like 35, 40 minutes.
45 minutes in the Sex and the City 2 world.
Miley also, her appearance in the film is pre-Wrecking Ball. So
yeah,
she like...
It's a much more...
She looks great. She's...
Clean cut edition of...
When was, full of cheeks. Full of cheeks. I've noticed as well. She's got that more chipmunky face, which I prefer.
That was probably around the same era when she did that fantastic cover of Dolly Parton's Jolene.
Yeah.
And when she also was still spouting things like, you'll never see me smoking marijuana, I'm not a loser.
Did she say that?
Yeah, she said something along those lines.
Oh my God, it's like the Britney trajectory.
You can't hold a teenager up to what they profess.
Well, that's so true because she's got publicists.
Must be confusing being a child star.
Yeah, man. It'd be so hard. It'd be really awful. Just look at, what's his name? You know who I'm talking about.
Justin Bieber?
No, dude. No. Corey Feldman. Feldman?
Who's he?
Oh, dude. He like, I'm going to grim you out, but he was a child star.
I don't
in a
think
bunch
I want
movies.
To have this conversation.
He was in the, what's it called? The fucking, so
Breakfast
many people
Club
listening
or
right
something?
Now. It was the Something Boys. So many people listening right now are going to be like, Tim, you're a fucking idiot. The name of the movie is, but guess what, guys? I don't remember it and I'm not going to Google it.
It's all right.
But anyway, he like came out years later, like recently, a couple years ago, and blew the lid on some child sex scandals and shit that were happening around Hollywood. Bad shit. Bad institutional shit.
We're veering into dangerously
far
away territory from the lighthearted romp through the desert that is Sex and the City 2.
So I don't know if it is that lighthearted though, this movie. Because it's intending to be profound and it's tripped over being massively offensive. But at no point in between is it lighthearted.
It is lighthearted. I don't know, man. I do know. I do know that this is probably the most we'll ever enjoy watching Sex and the City 2.
I'll tell you what, like I didn't mind watching it.
No.
It was cool. It was cool to watch a movie I haven't seen before.
Main complaint? Bit long.
This movie needed a damn good edit. There's no question about that. And the script needed a really damn good edit as well. But sometimes movies get made like that. They're a bit flabby, you know?
We should motor through the plot for the people.
Why? Well, they've got enough.
No, they don't.
She fucking pashes Aiden.
Yeah, and it fixes her relationship with Mr. Big.
Boom, movie, the end.
And Charlotte is struggling being a mother.
Which, and this may sound kind of harsh, Charlotte is not a mother. Charlotte has got this nanny who's working with her kids full time.
The nanny's putting in 24 hours.
And it's like, I am loath to throw fucking judgment at parents because I have no concept of what it would be to be a parent.
That's exactly how you preface throwing judgment at parents.
But I will say this.
No offense, but the most offensive thing I can say.
But you know what I mean? Like, she keeps going on about how hard motherhood is and shit. And it's like, well, you don't know.
You've got no idea, yeah.
You don't know.
You're not doing it. You literally just upped and left your entire life to go swan around Abu Dhabi.
She was like,
in a million different outfits, worth more than presumably what you pay the nanny who is raising your children.
In a year. She very briefly goes, and quite rightly, I've got a husband and two young children. I can't go to Abu Dhabi. Yeah. That fucking makes sense. That's what a sensible person would do. And then the girls are like, nah, you should come. And she's like, okay.
Then Samantha's like, I went to your kid's birthday party And then Miranda's like, oh, birthday party, pulling out the big guns. And then Charlotte's like, all right, twist my arm.
That is a false equivocation. They are not the same. Going to a child's birthday party and traveling to Abu Dhabi for 2 weeks
but
is not
you know,
the same.
This is the thing is, I don't know the show well enough, but you know Samantha, children's birthday parties isn't her thing.
Abu Dhabi, bro, is not Charlotte's thing.
I agree. I would argue Abu Dhabi was also not Samantha's thing. Because yeah, she got true. Into all sorts of trouble because she kept disrespecting the culture.
Oh, the fun she got up to, you guys. You guys, I wish you were here with us watching while Samantha was up to all her sexy hijinks in the Middle East. Oh, how we laughed as she robbed through her sexual escapades with Middle Eastern men who look very exotic and sexy.
Do you know who threw a lot of money at this movie?
Who?
Suzanne Summers.
Jesus, did she watch? She wrote a fucking book.
She wrote a book called Breakthrough, I guess, 5 years ago, because the movie came out in 2010, that mustn't have been selling well, and her publicist just threw a shit ton of copies of the book, probably not any money. I guess someone in the movie did it to Suzanne out of a personal favor.
You would, if you were being paid in books for the amount of coverage this got in this movie, you would need to be like building buildings like, out of the amount of books
I like
that
the
she
thing
had.
That all of the sponsors just did contra deals. So Sobu only gave the movie, like they catered
they
for
catered
a week.
The entirety of the, they
not
catered
even
the
whole
the
movie,
shit.
Just 1 week of the movie.
No, because this, like Sex and the City.
Rolex let them use a watch that they had to return at the end of the movie.
You are downplaying the cultural importance of Sex and the City, man. This franchise in its heyday was a juggernaut.
Yeah, I know. I don't mean to downplay that. I think that this is not part of the what's legacy? I don't know. This isn't
the franchise.
This isn't part of the franchise.
So it's like this how I view Home Alone 3 how some people view Home Alone 2.
This is a bloated cash grab. And
this is Phantom Menace of Sex and the City.
I haven't seen
Yeah, I'm not a Star Wars guy.
I haven't seen a single Star War.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen a Star War. That is a Lucille line. I'll go and see a Star War. Very good AD. Very good writing. The writing's not like universally terrible. It's very ham-fisted and there's, like you said before, lots of forced sass.
I think also the fact that the actors know the characters inside out does mean that they can lend a sense of emotion to the film.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like, like you can, there's pathos, there's emotional connection and interplay between the characters, but it's just,
imagine if there was 6 seasons of Grown Ups the TV show.
It's actually it's a really good concept
and precursor to the movies.
We should write it.
Shut your dirty whore mouth, guy. Things that get said on this podcast while we're in the giddy aftermath of
watching
a
movie.
You're
the guy, the number of awful ideas you've thrown at me through the last year.
Yeah, so take it from a guy who knows. Be careful what you say.
Look, Tim, I'm exciting.
I'm excited.
I scrambled my brain.
You're an exciting person.
We just took the first step on a journey into the desert together. And, you know, we don't know how much water we've brought.
I'm looking forward to this one. I'm okay with this. This is going to be okay. The biggest concern I have is simply the amount of time it's going to take up in the week. Because this is a very much longer film than
Grown Ups
2.
Very much a longer film. By a whopping 56 minutes.
Is it? Is it that much?
Oh, no, it's not. What was Grown Ups? An hour 41. This is 2:26.
2:40 and 1:06. I don't know. You do the math.
2:40, 1:01. No. Well, look. No, what is it? 1:41 is 40 minutes longer.
Okay. That doesn't seem right.
But it is right.
Oh, but it is right. It's completely right. Guy, I don't know, man. Like,
hey, you don't need to know. Tim,
the TV
no one's asking you questions.
Was good. And then the first movie might have been okay. And then this movie, I can't help but compare to Grown Ups 2, which is absurd. Like, no one did that at the theater. No one went to Sex and the City 2 and went, oh, actually, Grown Ups 2 came out way after.
Yeah.
No one, yeah. We're literally the first people to compare those two films. And
no,
we're
going
to do such a good job
not.
Of it by the end. Yeah, bro. Think about it. They're from just completely disparate worlds. And I've had this conversation.
I like to think they exist in the same universe. Can you imagine a crossover?
Wow. No. My mind is like reeling at the thought. God, imagine that of like Kevin. So Kevin James like somehow had to come with them. Kevin James. Okay. So Paul Blart Mall Cop, whatever the fuck his name is, right, is Lamonsoff. Lamonsoff had to go into the witness protection program after something went up with after Tommy Kavanagh.
Yeah.
And Tommy Kavanagh threatened to kill him. He gets relocated, starts as a mall cop. Carrie and the girls need security when they go to Abu Dhabi to look after them because they're women in the United Arab Emirates. And he gets assigned somehow. And suddenly we're dealing with the slapstick, fart, burp humor of Kevin James as Paul Blart, as Eric Lamonsoff in Sex and the City 2.
I like
Imagine
it.
That.
I like where your head's at.
Me too. Can I talk about my favourite bit of the movie? Because I had a shining light.
Yeah, yeah,
big time. Pretty early on in the movie. Who's having coffee? I think it's Carrie and Big.
It's the girls. Oh, it's the lunch meeting when they're planning to go to Abu Dhabi.
Okay. So they're all together and I saw it. Because you know that thing I was describing how I can't focus on shit that's in focus now?
Yeah.
It started in Grown Ups 2, but it's bled to other films. I've never seen this movie before, but I couldn't do it in this either. I was constantly looking around at background actors already. And I saw one guy in that scene who was just minding his own business, drinking a cup of coffee. And I just said to you, I said, that's my favorite extra in the movie. Watch that guy. And then he proceeds to just
in
fucking...
two consecutive shots.
Three.
Yeah.
There's
so
three.
The first one you said, then in two more shots, this guy is...
just pounding the coffee. He's over Carrie's shoulder. He's sipping a coffee. They do a cutaway to Samantha to say like a monosyllabic witty retort. They cut back to Samantha. He's back for another round. He's taking another sip. Now they're over to Charlotte, who's got some disparaging comment to make, disparaging against someone, or she's, you know, crying or whatever. And very quickly, we're back to Carrie over the shoulder. Boom, that guy's up for another sip of his cafe. And then... he's fucking off.
Yeah, it's three shots of him just pounding cafe, and then on the fourth shot, he's in the background. He just ups and leaves, presumably to go close a fucking massive deal, because that guy is getting shit done.
He's who Carrie should have wound up with. Forget Aiden, forget Big. She needs to turn around in the
Big
cafe.
Big also was pounding quite a lot of caffeine in this
movie.
He was
all about the espresso.
They have this weird state-of-the-art coffee machine, and the only way they could like crowbar it into the movie to get part of their bills paid was this like pan up shot so that it showed the time of the morning.
It looks identical to those Nespresso ads with George Clooney in them where they...
the coffee machine also looked like a piece of shit.
Yeah, it didn't look great.
Look, that's all we got time for.
I want budgets on this movie. I'm going to go do some Googling. We'll come back next week. But Guy, I'm feeling concerned about the time.
Don't worry about the time.
But I'm feeling okay. Watch one. I'm feeling okay. It's not the greatest movie ever made. But, you know, I've seen worse. I've seen worse over 50 times.
Yet, you know what, Tim? I also, you know, as I said, first step on an exciting journey. Tim and Guy, timandguy.com.
Put it there. Let's shake on it. Well done. We made it through the first one. We'll catch you guys next week.
See you next week.
See you on the internet.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello? Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.